Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and as always, it's my favorite place to be, and that is because we talk about what I think are the most important things to dive deep on as women on this planet today who are building big, beautiful dreams, and that is to know, in actuality, with the right acumen and strategic lens and perspective and confidence and embodiment, how to build a business, how to actually do it, what it requires from a tactical perspective as well as an identity perspective. And that's the hustle side of this podcast. We talk about leadership and branding and marketing and money and scale and team building and all of the beautiful things that we all need to know when it comes to growing our businesses. And we also talk about all of the spiritual things. We talk about our connection to the divine. We unpack everything from microdosing mushrooms to feng shui and the magic of crystals and psychic abilities and plant medicine and beyond. And this is all in service of us as women remembering just who we really are. Because when we remember who we remember how powerful we are. We remember how joyful we were actually designed to be, how abundant our life is actually supposed to look, and just how brightly we were destined to shine. And I'm so excited about my guest today because this is a bad bee, okay? This woman has built massive, massive success, eight-figure businesses, multi-millions in revenue, and has never lost the plot of our deep responsibility to Mother Earth. And when I met Dinette May last year, we got connected through a mutual friend, you know, who just was like, you two need to know each other. You know, it's one of those. And she actually had me on her incredible podcast, The Dinette May Show. And it was just an instant recognition, you know, just understanding through looking into each other's eyes that we spoke the same language. And Dinette is going to talk about a lot of things today. She just recently sold her business. She's going to talk about how that happened. She's going to talk about her deep devotion to Mother Earth and her practices that keep her connected to spirit wherever she goes, whatever she builds, whatever she sells, whatever she does. And I think that there's going to be a lot. I don't just think, I know there's going to be a lot that you're going to take away from her story. Now, if you don't know who Dinette May is, she's the co-founder and CCO of Mindful Health LLC and Earth Echo Foods, the business that she just sold. And she's also a best-selling author, an executive coach, a keynote speaker, and a holistic wellness expert who is driven by her profound passion for healing and has inspired millions of people worldwide through her transformational programs that integrate mindset, movement, and nutrition. And it's easy to look at someone like Dinette, who is so successful, so beautiful, so embodied, and think that she had it easy. And we all know that that's never the case. Dinette lost her son, went through a divorce, financial falling apart, and yet still, through her own connection to the divine, her own resilience, has pioneered a three-pillar approach to wellness, mind, body, spirit, which became the foundation of her massively successful brands, including her coaching practice. She's spoken on stages like Mind Valley and the Biohacking Conference by Dave Asprey. She's led cacao ceremonies around the world and, perhaps most impressively, has championed humanitarian efforts, including raising over $5 million that have been donated globally. If you ever want to look at a signature of a spiritual hustler, a woman who is walking the walk of the divine feminine rising at this time on this planet, it is Danette May. And she was such a gift to be with in person. And if you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, you should go watch this interview because our connection was cosmic. And stay till the very end because Danette tells a story in my quick fire questions when I ask her, like, do you believe in aliens? She actually did make that a quick fire question. She went all the way into a story that recently happened to her that I think is honestly one of the most exciting parts of this interview. So without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with Danette May. Welcome to my show. You want to interview me? Just kidding.
Yeah, I can interview you. I got chills.
I'm getting chills with you.
No, it's true. I've been watching you.
And yeah. It's so amazing to have you here in the Spiritual Hustler podcast studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love being here. This is fun.
This is everything. I knew the second I got connected to you, I was like, I'm going to see this woman and weave with her. Because you've got codes. Yeah, codes on codes. And we're going to talk about them.
Okay.
But before we get into all of my questions, I'm going to start with the first question that I ask every guest, which is, what are you spiritually hustling for, Danette?
This might, you know, I'll just speak what just came to me when you said that. I don't think I'm hustling for anything.
Let's go.
I feel like I've hustled a lot and I've been on the go, and the things that I look back on my past, I'm like, I wish I would have breathed a little bit more and soaked in those, what we might call mundane moments, but they were the spiritualist moments of all time. Rocking your babies, getting up in the night, just the mundanes of cooking a meal, you know? So I don't know if I'm hustling for anything right now. I'm really trying not to hustle for, I have nothing to hustle for.
Wow, babe. What a beautiful homeostasis place to be.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
I know, it's work. I mean, in its own right, it takes work.
Yeah.
So you, can we talk about the fact that you just sold your business this year?
You're probably like the one of the top 10 that I've ever told this to right now.
Well, really?
Well, I don't know why we're not talking about it. We just don't. Me and my husband are like, that was cool. Let's just kind of,
I'd say
that was cool. I'm like, do you think we should celebrate more? And he's like, nah, we know what we did.
But I love that. I think that's actually really beautiful. But I know you co-founded it with your husband, but you are a woman and you owned that business. And did you know, as I learned this in the last 2 years as a woman that sold my business, that 1% of people who sell their businesses are women?
No, I did not know this.
1% of people who sell their businesses are women.
Wow.
So it is worth celebrating.
It is. And I feel like you're the person I could tell because of the mission you hold, that you would get it and you would celebrate it and it's the right container to share it in.
I mean, I understand it, right? So wholeheartedly, because we were talking before, building something from nothing to something that becomes an asset that someone else wants, that will pay you money for to carry it on. The legacy of the brand. But let's go back, because I think, you know, so many women who are listening are female entrepreneurs, aspiring female entrepreneurs, and it's the glory story to sell a business, but it doesn't happen overnight, and it takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And was your dream always to sell the business? Was that the goal? What was the impetus for Earth Echo?
Yeah, so for those who don't know me, like, I had a different business to start with, and it started under my name. Like, it was the Danette May brand. We had like detox programs, fitness programs. So it was all this, you know, bunch of digital programs that were being leashed to women around the world. And I remember when I got the hit to do, it was first Cacao Bliss. It wasn't called Cacao Bliss. It was just this idea of superfood infused raw ceremonial grade cacao. And it was because I sat in a circle with these indigenous healers and I could see that this could help open the hearts of people in their everyday. not, you didn't have to go to the jungle or sit with shamans to open your heart. And I really knew I wanted to bring it out to the world. And it was interesting because I had the concept. I remember telling my husband, he's like, we do not have the bandwidth for this. We don't even know what we're doing. We don't have the legal team for this. And I was like, okay. So then I was just giving the formula out. I was like mixing all these superfoods, and I gave it out for like 2 years to people. I would be like, okay, mix this amount of organic turmeric and this much raw cacao and da 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 da. And they were writing in, oh my gosh, this is happening. You know, and of course we can't say those claims, but they were telling me what the depression was decreased, skin disorders, higher libido, better energy, all these things. And I was like, I'm onto something. I know I am. So I was like, we have to do this. And every time I'd go hiking, I'd be like, it's not leaving me. Like, I know we have to do this. And finally, my husband's known me long enough, like, because everything that we've created has come from a thought in my mind. And he's like, okay.
Because you're wrong.
Let's go. So we figured out the legal team. We figured out the distributors. You know, I actually wanted ceremonial grade cacao. So that was probably the most difficult piece to it, because we found a farmer in Peru, but he didn't have a solid road to get into his farm, because he was the only one really laying it out in the sun. I mean, you can get raw cacao, but it doesn't mean it's ceremonial grade. Right. And that was very important to me. Yes. And so I was like, well, build him a road then. And so we built him a road, and I was like, just be our supplier, because it's going to be a lot. I have a feeling it's going to be really big. Everybody kind of was like, I don't know if it's going to be big. I'm like, it's going to be big. I just knew.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
that's how it began, with that organic calling, the thought. And then to go from digital products and online programs to like
totally
product sales and e-com probably was a whole new adventure.
It was. That's what my husband was afraid of. He's like, this means overhead. This means legal. This means like so many things.
Yeah.
And we were working with superfood, so it's a whole nother realm.
Right. And you had to educate the market and create that demand. How long did you run the business for?
It's about 7 years.
That's how long I ran my business before I sold it.
Really?
It's kind of a magic number. That's right, babe.
I was like, I thought we were going to sell in 3 years, which he was like, we probably could have. We probably should have. I'm like, I told you. But
wow. Yeah. And so how did the sale and the exit manifest? Like, how'd that come to be? What was that process like?
Well, not all sales are like this, but I'm a big believer, and I know you understand this so fully. And this is, I think, what I'm trying to get out there in the world as much as I think you are in the business realm. I'm not necessarily teaching about business, but I really want people to understand the power of our minds and the power that this infinite potentiality that lies in all of us. And can we do business or anything in life using this energy? And so for me, I practiced this. So I had written out exactly what I wanted for this exit. And I had told my husband it was going to happen in 3 years, which now he's like, probably should have followed your lead on that, but it's fine. It was 7 years, but I knew we were going to sell it. This one, I actually knew we were going to sell. And I wrote out like who I wanted my buyer to be, because the ethos, I always said that our CEO was Mother Earth from the beginning. Like I was like, I am not interested in creating a food product that actually takes away from the earth. Not interested. Do not want to face that karma later on. And so every decision was like, okay, what's the best for the earth? Packaging wise, I mean, there were so many hurdles, and a lot of which I know is the bigger thing. A lot of people would be like, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, but it doesn't matter to me because I know I'm going to be rewarded in the longer run. So I wanted a buyer that was like, not going to change the formula. That was written into the contract at the end.
Totally.
Yeah. Was not going to change the ethos, like put it in plastic or do something. Like that was all part of my sell. I wrote the amount of money I wanted. I wrote all of it down and everything happened. And it was the easiest sell. Like I think other than we had paperwork to do that felt not fun because we both don't like paperwork. We talked with the buyer. We worked it out. It wasn't like this tug and pull that I hear with other exits. I love this guy. I'm rooting for him. It was exactly what I wanted. And I wrote it down like probably within the first year of creating the product.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The first year you wrote it out.
I wrote it out the first year.
And 7 years later, it happened to a T.
Exactly.
Okay. So can we talk about the codes that you have? Because you're I feel you and I have a very similar frequency of business.
Yeah.
We understand what it takes.
I don't mean a lot of people like it, but I agree.
It's true. And I don't say that to exalt us in any way. Like, there's a real aptitude and acumen and ambition and willingness to like put in the work to build something from nothing.
Yes.
And it does take a hustle. It does take a real level of tenacity and focus and resilience and problem solving and all of sort of the, what I would call like the divine masculine qualities that I feel. I often say that women who are in their divine masculine will help lead the world, and men who are in their divine feminine hearts are going to help heal the world.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
Like we need the sacred union. Like I have the Vesco Pisces on my arm. But there's a essence and a quality to the way in which I see you lead your business, yourself, your community, your platform that is deeply rooted in feminine reclamation and consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy to listen to something like I manifested my dream exit and, you know, wrote it down on a piece of paper, and to like actually practice it and live it. Mm-hmm. And so your codes and you talk a lot about blueprints and sacred geometry, and there's ways in which you commune with like the cosmos that are very clearly channeled. And so what does that practice look like for you in business?
Yeah, well, I'll share the more metaphysical practice, but without sharing that first, I want to say, like you just mentioned, there is work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't like talking about the metaphysical until people realize you've got to bridge both. Because I feel like there's a lot of like stuff out there that's like
100%. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. So I don't want anyone to think that I just wrote it down and it happened. Like every day, videos upon videos, creating, tweaking, sales copy. You know, there was a moment, and I'll get into it, but I want to share this story about cacao because I've reflected on it with my husband. We were in probably the middle of the growth of cacao. And we had, you know, our buyers, they were on subscription. And I've always been, yes, Mother Earth is the CEO, and then the client's the next in line, right? Yeah. So all of a sudden, I was noticing in our own bag at home, because we consume this every single day, I was like, it's tasting different. Like, what is that taste? Like, what is going on? And so I ordered a few more bags because I was like, maybe it's just this bag. And I was like, this taste is really not, something's off. Like, because I know my product, I created it. So I was... went down to the lab, like we flew in. I was like, what is going on with the taste? Of course, all the lab people and their coats that came in, they're like, I don't think anything's wrong with it. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't taste right. So they first wanted to check, is there high lead? Is there anything going on in the formula that maybe it's a bad batch? Because sometimes you do big batches of it, whatever. And they were like, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong with this. It's fine. We agree there's a slight difference in taste. And I was like, this doesn't work. And they were like, well, you have over $1 million worth of product right here. And my husband's like, Danette, I don't think we haven't had anybody complain about it.
Right.
And I was like, no, it's the right thing to do. I will swallow over $1 million for the right thing to do. Thankfully, the distribution company, but I was willing to take that on. I was like, I'm willing to lose. And I say all this because you're going to run into this.
Right.
These are where I think this is the metaphysical work, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I remember just looking at my husband and I'm like, we will take this on. I'm not going to put out product that I know is not the right taste. And even though they're saying it's fine, it's not fine. And thankfully, the distribution company's like, we want your business. We'll eat the cost. And we'll make a whole new batch.
What was wrong with it?
No one knows. I knew, I mean, who knows if what they were telling me is fully true.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to believe that they were, but they ate the cost and then did a whole new batch. Cause I was like, something tastes off and I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's harmful because these are organic products. I don't know if it's been sitting too long. I'm not sure.
But you're not willing to take that. You're willing to take that risk for $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to just voice all that because you're going to face off with these things. And then I'll share, because that's what leads me to why I feel that I'm able to create, is because I know I'm backed. And the reason I know I'm backed by a higher power, I believe, and I say this humbly, is because each day I ask and I'm receiving signs that I'm backed, and I watch it in miracles. I watch it even driving here with you. I was telling you the driver was from Egypt. I was like, of course the driver and his wife are talking to me from Egypt because I'm going to go see Jessica. You know, like, how can you not see these signs and know that you're backed by such a higher power beyond what we can even comprehend? I'm not even going to try to pretend I comprehend at all, but I know I'm backed. And so if I know I'm backed, then the information that I'm receiving, move forward in it, trust it, lean into it, create with it. And so for me, it's every day just getting into that remembrance, offering prayer, offering back to the land. I do a land ritual every single day, whether I'm in the city or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's, we know this to be true, such a deep disassociation with Gaia. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the root problem of our dis-ease.
Yeah.
Because we have been disconnected from her and we are her.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are disconnected from ourselves at like the root level. And so land offerings, I mean, it is something that it's not taught or celebrated or revered and or known in most of Western civilization. Yeah. We know this from going into indigenous parts of the world, as you and I both have. So what does your land ritual look like? How do you work with the land? Why?
Always work with the land. I would say, if you feel a lack of abundance in your life, or you're feeling unsupported in your life, or you're feeling unsteady in your life, work with the land. And I don't mean this to be a competition with God. God obviously created the land, because there's also that train of thought. Like, Jeanette, do you worship the land? I'm like, come on. I'm honoring something that I live on. And I'm honoring something greater than myself that's giving to me every day through air, through nature, through plants. And I believe that when you honor her, and you will be received in abundance back. And so it's not that I'm honoring her to have the abundance. I've just witnessed it. And so I'm here to remind everyone that it's not woo-woo. It is necessary. And so every single day, I'm honoring her in different ways. So it's not one set ritual. But every morning I get out on her ground, whether I'm in the city or up on my mountain home or where not. And I'm saying thank you. Thank you for what she's offered me, what she's giving me every single day. I try to put my feet on the ground. Last night, I was standing outside the hotel room and there were like thousands of starlings like flying over. And I was just like,
you saw this in the city?
Yes. Like, you can see my stories. I was mesmerized, like thousands of them. And some women were like, whoa, what is going on? I'm like, I don't know, but it's miraculous. And then this guy gets out of his, like, I don't know if he was dropping someone off, and he goes, the birds are disgusting. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, oh, we're all living in two different worlds,
but fine.
But I am breathing in, I'm touching trees. I always make an offering to the earth where I'm going to stay. So that might just be like a juniper berry, because that's from my native land. So I might just bring a juniper berry and like just give it to the earth here and be like, thanks for letting me be here in Nashville. So grateful. That's stuff I'll do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can we go back to your roots, your story, like your origin story? Because you're so coded and awake and conscious. And I believe that it's often something we were born with. And then we come into a young adulthood and we maybe suppress it, or something clicks in and comes online. And I know that so much of our light is found in our shadow.
Exactly.
And so was there a particular moment, Jeanette, that you got connected or had this spiritual awakening? You've been walking this path for a really long time, but there was a moment of breakdown into breakthrough that you can share.
Yeah, I mean, obviously most people know about the passing of my son. And yes, that woke me up to the truth within me, but I believe we're all born with this. Mm-hmm. I look at children and I'm like, I like want to learn from them so much, because I see they're so, like, you use the word coded. They're very coded. I believe we all are. So I wouldn't say that I've found it or it was always in me, right? I believe it's always been in me, but I believe these hard things that we go through, and that's why I'm not afraid of suffering anymore. I have faced off with a lot of suffering, and I feel like that's really actually peeled back the truth to who I am. And it's actually given me the greatest gifts. And so I would say it was in my sufferings, it was in my hard times that I really found the truest character of and vulnerability of who I actually am. And so I would say my hard times, losing my son was one of them, divorce, even things that I go through that just happened in about a year and a half ago. These things are all really just molding me and helping strip away what's been layered on to get more to the true essence of who I am.
Thank you for sharing that. I feel that I wrote a book about this, but our greatest light is found in our darkest of depths. Mm-hmm. And it gives us our authenticity and it gives us our mission and our purpose. Mm-hmm. And you're so successful and you're so beautiful. And you're so impactful, and it's easy to look at women who have a platform like yours and not understand what it really took to get there. And not just the hard work in a business, but the soul evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe, everyone that I admire has gone through something very hard. That's the one common denominator.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about, I've seen you talk about blueprints.
Yeah.
And I use that term all the time. I understand what it means.
Yeah.
At least in my own vein. But I actually would love for you to talk about it and explain it for people who are maybe new to that term and what that really is and how to work with yours.
Okay. Well, I'm not an expert in astrology by any stretch of the means, but I don't know if you guys remember, but I remember being in kindergarten and they would take your finger, what is it called? Your fingerprint?
Your fingerprint.
And they would say that everyone has their own unique fingerprint. And I remember that stuck with me when I was in kindergarten. I'm like, we all have a unique fingerprint. How is this even possible? And they would do this in case you got kidnapped, right? At least that's what they did in my town. They would take your fingerprint in case they needed to find you. I don't know. But I was like, wow, we all have our own fingerprint design, which is a swirl, which that has its own really special meaning to me. So if we all have our own fingerprint, we all have our own blueprint, our own, which I imagine you use the word soul print, right? Have I heard you say that?
I have. Yeah.
Soul print. And that means you're known. That means there is a design that you came with, maybe a code, a fragment, an element that you came with that no one else has. But yet all of our fragments and elements merge together like this beautiful dream catcher. So if I believe that, and I do believe it to be true, I think there are actually different forms of finding out a little bit more about your blueprint. I think astrology is one of the forms. I think there's other forms as well. Like when you go to certain places on the earth, you're going to get remembrances. You might even, everyone gets them a little bit different. Some might be flashes of memories. Some might be just you're changed, or you might be visited. So, I believe we all have a very, very specific blueprint to who we are inside of ourselves, that we're here to, whether it's just walking around this earth plane or something we say or do, to impact the whole.
Do you think that people's blueprints can be suppressed before doing these types of work, understanding yourself through the lens of, say, astrology, Enneagram, traveling to sacred spaces? Everyone has their own unique divine design. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that people have a suppression of their own blueprint?
Yeah, I feel like it's almost, for the most people, at least the ones I've met, most people have forgotten their blueprint, have forgotten the magnificence of their blueprint. And it's almost like part of the mission is to remember your magnificence. And to really celebrate that magnificence, it's almost like we kind of, even the people that come from we would call good homes that didn't have big trauma, they're like struggling with self-worth, struggling with knowing who they are and feeling loved. And that's fascinating to me that we come out that way. That must be part of the mission. That must be part of this alchemizing that we're all here to do. So yeah, I do think we suppress it. And I think it's easy to suppress it.
The reason why I ask that is because I feel we're living in a really powerful inflection point right now where that suppression has been passed on mm-hmm. through our lineages and our ancestral trauma. Mm-hmm. And even if you are raised in a beautiful home per se, which no one who's raised in a perfect home, you're still inheriting a sense of what I would call amnesia mm-hmm. and slumber
yeah.
to your own magnificence and your own greatness. And there's, I believe, forces at play that keep us, that want to keep us asleep. Matrix, you know, the yeah. big food, big pharma, like I could go on and on.
Yes.
And that we're living in a time of awakening, yes, and remembering, yes, but that requires a level of sovereignty to really remember we have agency over how we choose to show up and live our lives and look at life itself. And
yeah.
I think that you're really walking the path of someone who is deeply remembered. And you mentioned going to sacred sites. You've both been to Egypt. You're wearing the Ankh. You're wearing lapis lazuli. I'm like living for this Egyptian vibration. Can you share? My audience obviously is so keen and interested in this conversation. And I'd love to hear about your experience there, what it did for your work.
Egypt was a unique one for me. I wouldn't say that I had a profound spiritual experience there. Obviously, there was deep remembrance. I wasn't visited or anything like that. I do remember we were going to the Isis temple and I wasn't in a private tour. I just was with an Egyptologist because I wanted to understand as much as I could, and he could talk to me one-on-one. And he was like, let's just leave really early because we can avoid the crowds, which is great. So we were on like one of the first boats over and we were going in to the temple. And I hadn't been to Egypt prior to this, obviously. I hadn't even read about it, but a lot of the rooms I had already seen in visions. And I already knew what those rooms were for, which I thought was interesting. And then we had these guards that were there at the temple that for whatever reason were not happy with me. I was just arriving. I wasn't private. People were still coming into the temple when I was. But my guide that was with us was fighting with the guards and they wanted to take me. And my husband's like this massive protector. And he was just like, I wasn't even doing anything. I wasn't sitting down and meditating. I would just walk into a room and maybe go like this and close my eyes for a minute. And they wanted to take me. They were telling him they were going to take me to jail. And for whatever reason, they were following me through this whole temple, which I was like, okay, this must mean something because I'm not doing anything. But I would know about those rooms. And I remember walking outside of the temple and I could smell all these herbs. And I was like, oh my gosh, I smell lavender. I smell all these herbs. And I said that to him and he goes, well, those big vats right there, that's where they crushed up all the herbs. And I was like, really? Because all my senses were online, very much online. And wow. Somehow the guards knew that and they were onto me. So my husband was on edge. So it wasn't like anyone was really very calm, but I was having this cool, like, oh, I know this room. And then he would tell me and I'd be like, yeah, I already knew that the music was played in this room. And these interesting things that he would tell me, which would confirm what I'd already seen, which was really kind of cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Going with an Egyptologist, going sort of the traditional tourist route, which when I was there with Joey, I found it so interesting that like the guards at these temples didn't want you. They gave us shit too for
the
chanting and oming and
you were at least doing, I wasn't doing anything.
You weren't doing anything, but you clearly have a power. That's how I interpreted that story, that they sent something about you that was ancient and connected. And it's such a polarity in Egypt where we all know that this is sacred site and this is ancient galactic stargate here.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to
access it.
They want to keep it almost hidden and quiet. And if you show any signs of being connected to it, you're a threat.
Yeah.
Which is
very fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating?
It is fascinating.
All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta Blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta Blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order. All right, guys, many of you in my community know that I have been on a long journey building my custom home. And when it came down to furnishing my bedrooms and particularly my bedding, there was only one brand that I was going to, and that is Cozy Earth. Now, these days, I crave comfort, like every one of us, that feels intentional. I'm talking soul soothing, because after I'm spiritually hustling all day long, you guys, I want my 5 to 9, the hours that matter the most, to be the most luxurious part of my day. And that's exactly what Cozy Earth does. It transforms my evenings into sacred sanctuary. Now, I have a big confession. I'm also obsessed with their bamboo pajama set. It's buttery soft, it drapes like a dream, and somehow sleeps cooler than cotton. I like to pair it with their plush and textured bubble cuddle blanket. It's the perfect combo for curling up with my husband and my dogs after a long day as the CEO that I am. And here's what I love the most. Cozy Earth doesn't just feel good during the holidays, although they would make an incredible holiday gift. They are part of my daily ritual. These are the things that I reach for again and again because Cozy Earth reminds me when I touch it, when I smell it, when I feel it, what heat feels like. And that, as a busy female entrepreneur, is priceless. They even offer a 100-night sleep trial. So if you don't love them, you can return them hassle-free, but trust me, you won't want to. You'll actually want to stay in bed all day long because they're that amazing. Cozy Earth's Black Friday sale is already here. So use my code JessicaZ for 40% off. You heard that right. Use my code JessicaZ for 40% off. These deals are not going to last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, tell them you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the Spiritual Hustler podcast. Visit CozyEarth.com and use code JessicaZ at checkout and wrap the ones you love, including yourself, in luxury. Spiritual hustlers, I want to ask you guys something. What if the space you live in was just as aligned as the life you're building? I recently partnered with California Closets Nashville. And let me tell you, this wasn't just a home project. This was a spiritual experience. They didn't just help me organize my closet. They helped me see myself more clearly.
every drawer, every finish, every hidden feature I didn't even know I needed. It was designed for me and the life that I am building. Because when your space reflects your essence, your entire energy shifts. Now think about it. You start and end your day here in your closet. So what if your environment was designed to support not just your day, but your next level self, your rituals, your rhythm, your vision for the woman that you are becoming every day? That's what California Closets does. It's not just design, it's intention made visible. So if you're in Nashville, I can't recommend them enough. Their team, their craftsmanship, their customer care, it is next level. So here's your sign, babe. Dream bigger. Your space matters. Visit the link in the show notes to book your free consultation call and start your transformation today.
I thought that was fascinating. I was like, I'm not doing anything. And why are you so threatened by me?
Well, it's your energy.
Yeah, but I'm like, why? Like, this is fascinating that you would be even threatened by this energy.
You could hear the sounds and you could smell the smells and there was nothing there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you did have
Yeah, I had an experience, but I have that in other places too, but I wasn't visited by someone or necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you feel the most connected? What part of the world?
Oh, gosh. Probably Greece.
Where in Greece?
Well, any island, but I just was there. I've been there a couple of times, but there's something about that Minoan civilization. It's older than Egypt, and I believe, and I was actually able to get into these caves that they say the government doesn't let anyone in. And I went and found it in the morning because Spiro was like, you should just go to the cave. And I'm like, well, it's locked and you have to have government permission, because it was the one cave where they found all the most ancient Egyptian artifacts, and they're all in the museum. And it was the birthing women cave where they would offer about they would bless women's wombs and creation. And I mean, it was from the dawn of time, they've been using this cave. And so I went to the cave. It was early in the morning. No one was there. I'm surprised I even found it. I like crawl down and I see that there is like a metal thing to block the cave. The lock is off. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then the sounds came because I like sat outside the cave and I'm like, do I go in? Because the lock is off. Is that an invitation? So I'm making an offering at the cave and I'm feeling fear like I've never felt before. So I don't know what happened at some time at that in another timeline, but I'm like, okay. So then I'm making an offer. I can feel that it wants me to go inside because the lock is off. And I'm like, and I'm hearing talking. So I like pop out of the hole and I'm like, no one's around. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm in another realm. Because I was like, I really swore that someone was around me. And I went inside that cave and oh my goodness, it's just, you could feel the energy of so many ceremonies, so many offerings. You could even see all the stalactites were shaped like women in dresses. There was a huge rock in the middle of this cave where you knew they were putting altars and ceremony. It was incredible. It was, yeah, I feel very connected in Greece.
What island in Greece is
that? Was Crete.
Crete. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, Crete. Oof, I'm getting chills.
Yeah, I feel very, very called to go there.
Yeah, you should.
It's like some of the most, I mean, you mentioned Egypt, but
yeah.
Ancient matriarchal civilizations.
Very much. I believe it's the lost. It was translated over into Egypt. It was before Egypt was known. And I believe they went over into Egypt with these rituals and way of being and civilization.
So women like you are here to really bring that back.
Yeah, but I can have this conversation with you, but I'm still dabbling in it. I don't have these with everyone, just to be very real.
Why you say that?
Yeah, you know, I've been asking myself that. It's an interesting conversation. I think it's multifaceted. I think that I've always been known as the fitness girl, and that was my private sector of my life. I would go hang out with different indigenous tribes and always kept it really private. So I don't know how it's really actually received in my community, to be real with you, with my following. And then two, I grew up quite religious. And so this is not frowned upon in my family, this type of conversation. And three, I grew up in a religion where people were like, this is the truth. This is the way to be. And I never want to come across that way. Just because I have discovered this for me doesn't mean that I want to take away from anyone else's beliefs or ways of being. And I want to be very sensitive to that because I've been on the other side of someone saying this is the only truth.
Okay. I have so much to say about this. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because as you're speaking right now, I can hear the hearts of men that are listening, many of them who feel the exact same internal struggle. Is somebody that has built a image and a community that knows them as this thing, or maybe hasn't built a community yet and is afraid to step out as the thing that they know they are at a soul level. And so many of us have religious trauma and ways of conditioning that really do block us to show up in our truest, highest selves. But here you are talking about it.
Yep.
And you are, when I see your content and I look at you, it's super clear to me how coded you are and that you stand for something much deeper than just entrepreneurship and business and fitness.
And well, so that's good.
It's true though. I mean,
I'm wanting to do, because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth for how I feel.
Could we crack into how you show up through the fear? I mean, this podcast is an example of you being just authentic and honest. I do believe that when we shift our messaging, we shed.
Yeah.
We also grow.
Yeah.
The right, more aligned community.
Absolutely.
So how has that practice been for you? It seems like it's still very real and you're in that struggle.
Yeah.
But I know so many women are listening to you right now saying, I fully relate and look at you like a leader nonetheless.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm asking? How are you?
How am I stepping into it?
Yes.
It goes back to what we just talked about, which is understanding our blueprint and understanding that we are who we are and we're loved and we're supported. So for me, my work is yoking with that energy. And the more I can yoke with that energy, it really helps me to stay in my path of my truth and to voice what needs to be voiced. Somewhere in many lineages, and I've been shared all these different things, I've been choked out for all my truths. And so it's a big work for me. So I have to yoke every single day with a higher power.
Yoke, what do you mean?
You think of oxen yoking together. That cart cannot move if one oxen's going to the right and the other one's going to the left. So when I say yoked, I mean I want to march with my creator. And I truly say that with every fiber of my being. I want to march with him. I want to, and him or her, whatever you want to call it, but it's a power. And it's a true love, it's a true source. And so if I'm yoked in that, then I speak what I need to speak and I do what I need to do. But there are days when I don't yoke and it can feel really confusing. You will actually experience people backlashing at you. You will experience displeasing people. You will experience those things. But when you're yoked with that higher power of your creator, it tends to be muted a lot more.
Yeah, so true. Mm-hmm. So you sold your business.
Yep.
And you're showing up as Danette. You have your own podcast, your own book. This beautiful community. What is your, I know you're building a house in Costa Rica, but what are you really looking forward to as this next chapter and phase?
I love this question and I know you're going to love this. And it's actually just starting to happen. I've had this dream for probably, it's funny, we keep saying the number 7, probably at least 7 years. And it had to do with media. And I was like, I don't know any producers. I don't know anybody who will get on this idea, but I've always wanted to highlight the wisdom keepers. And I have this ability to build trust with indigenous cultures. And I've gone to some of the most sacred places in the world where they don't let any blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl go, and sit with them and to experience their culture and experience their rituals and their medicine and their magic. And I've witnessed magical things that no one really talks about when it comes to healing. I've seen people come off beds with feathers. I have seen and witnessed really, really beautiful things that I think are tend to be put down. We live in a culture where we banned a lot of these cult rituals that even just the Native Americans were doing, right? Because we're afraid of these powers and these gifts. And I truly have always wanted to just go into all these tribes and show the world that we're all the same, actually, that at the fundamental root, and can we bring pieces of these indigenous ways into our modern world and learn from these different forms of healing? And I feel like I'm almost on the precipice of getting the right producer that's like, yes, I want to do this with you. And that is like one of my biggest dreams, is to go around the world and highlight this and bring those wisdom keepers that will never have a website, that most people will never meet, will know, and their voices and their wisdom to the forefront of our modern world.
Babe.
So that's wow. What I'm up to.
Let's go.
Yeah.
If anyone can do it, you can. What parts of the world can you take us in to some of these wisdom keepers specifically? Like what tribes? I've been to the Amazon. Yeah. Deep and in, touched into indigenous ancient tribes that showed me true harmony.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I will most likely start where my heart is at and then see where it takes me from there. I love this connection and this correlation that I'm discovering between the Hopi, the Mayans, and the Egyptians, which I believe the ancient Greeks are connected with the Egyptians. The Anasazis, which are connected with the Hopi, they all have very similar threads to them that I want us to witness and see in these different locations around the globe. Underneath the layers of how they actually do their rituals are divinely, divinely connected.
Can you give us an example? Or no?
Yeah, I can. Okay. I'll give one that most people would understand.
Great.
Because some feel deep and you have to see it or feel it. But one that most people, I don't know how many, your crew will probably really understand this, Temescal or Sweat Lodge.
Yes.
So those two deep ritualistic healing components were done on completely different continents. And why is that? Because I believe there's these codes and this way of communicating that will come back, which we want to call telepathy, will come back, that these tribes were all communicating through stars, through energy lines, to create very similar rituals. And so that's just one of many, but the Temescal and the Sweat Lodge operate in very, very similar ways. One with the Mayans, one's with the Native Americans.
Do you feel connecting through, you said, the stars and earth lines, cosmic lines? They were, so I have a philosophy on this, but I'm curious to get yours, that they were connected because they were like star seeds, came from other parts.
Yeah, and I think they were watching the stars. I think we've forgotten to watch the stars just as much as we are not watching underneath the ocean. I feel like we are in this world plane on Earth, which has its place, but those cultures deeply respected the ocean and deeply respected and studied the stars. And I think there's a form of communication in both.
Totally.
Yeah.
I could not agree more. Yeah. We're the bridge. You have this deep sense. This is why I really wanted you. I wanted you on my podcast for so many reasons. This real deep, we call it reverence for Gaia. Mm-hmm. And the connection we have to the earth and the cosmos that a lot of us just so fall away from because we weren't raised with it. Mm-hmm. And your land offering is a beautiful example in the way you are in such deep reciprocity and integrity with the earth. But I think we've lost our way in so many ways. And so how can you, as someone listening, become more, let me back up and actually say this. When I had a visitation in a journey from a Native American, ancient Native American tribe leader woman in Nashville. She came in. This is why I'm telling you, this land here is so coded.
Wait, she came in through Spirit Realm?
She came in through Spirit Realm.
Okay.
Yeah. Her name was White Eagle.
Okay.
And she was, I would say she was 100 years old. I mean, she was an elder, ancient elder.
Yep.
She had long braids. She had like leathered skin. I could tell you exactly what she looked like. And she came into my field. She was filled with so much grief because she saw, she was psychic and telepathic, and she could see what was coming to her peoples as they were about to be colonized. And there was such a grief in her, but also a empowering message to me as a white woman, you know, as a humble servant of the feminine, to restore the earth in the best way that I could. She said, "My name is White Eagle, but the women of this earth are my white feathers, and to spread the light, and to do your work to heal yourself so that you can heal the world." And I try and do that in my own little corner of the universe. And it's, you know, some have an inclination to write a book or start a podcast or, you know, build a business around like beautiful ceremonial medicine. But just the everyday woman that is looking to become more connected to this part of herself and therefore this part of the world and the earth. What do you say to her?
Oh, I want to say to her to make it less complicated, that it doesn't have to look a certain way. And a lot of times it's just what you're carrying in your heart. It's less about the actual action of setting up the altar or doing the thing, but what are you walking with? What is the energy you're walking with? The reason I make an offering to the earth is because my son has passed. And so I've been able to see how spirits are everywhere. If we truly could understand, we're surrounded by spirits in here. I mean, some people don't recognize that there are spirits everywhere. So if there are spirits everywhere, we must ask. We must be like, "Hey, can I be amongst you? You were on this land before I was." You're stepping in their home. This is their home. Like, this actual place we're podcasting on, it was one time a home to someone else. And their spirits are around. And so if you really think through that a little bit, I think it makes it a little easier to be like, "Oh, let me just make an offering." It could be just your energy of saying, "Hey, thanks for letting me be here. You know, thanks for, will you protect me? Am I invited? Is there anything I could do or an offering I can do?" Just even saying that is enough. Mm. Or you can bring something from your native place. So for me, it's a juniper berry. That's more my lineage line. So like a juniper berry, or maybe you bring a little tobacco, or maybe you bring something and just put it on the earth and say, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's more simple, I would say, than it needs to be complex.
Absolutely. And if I can just add to that, I just went through a very big launch last month and I was spiraling.
So what do you mean?
I launched a bit.
What were you spiraling though? Like
the numbers, the goal, like, just, it was a hard launch, to be totally honest. Our learning launch, I should say.
I would love hearing about that. I love hearing, because you're willing to be honest about it.
Oh, yeah.
People hear about launches and they just think, "Why is mine not working? And theirs looks easy." And
nothing's easy.
I love it.
It takes real work. It takes real sweat. It's stressful.
Yes.
You know, when you're launching anything, but in a launch-based business where you're driving the majority of your revenue for the year in a two-week period, like, stakes are high and it's intense, and you have to self-regulate. And it's one thing to regulate yourself when everything's moving in the right direction, but when things start to rock,
technology,
all of it, the bumps in the road, like, can really rock you. And so I went to my refrigerator.
Yeah.
There was a carton of raspberries. And I have a deep connection to, like, strawberries and berries, like fruit. Fruit represents abundance.
Yeah.
And I took the whole carton and I went into my backyard and I offered my berries to the tree, to Gaia. And I said, like, what is the frequency in which I'm wanting this money and this success and abundance to come in from? What am I doing with this? How am I channeling this? What is the intention behind this?
Yes.
And it is to not only create abundance for myself, but to help other women create abundance, then can take their overflow and make the world a better place, one person, one ripple at a time, so that I'm in right relationship with this desire to call in success, and I'm in deep partnership and humility to you, Gaia, that allows me to be in this life, to have this home, to have this business, to hold me as a piece of you that I forget. And I put those raspberries in the earth and everything shifted. Not even the launch. I'm not talking about the launch. Me.
You. I really commend that. I think that's a beautiful example of like regrounding, reshifting, and really reconnecting. What is my intention here?
Correct. And recommitting.
Yeah. That's a powerful example.
Yeah.
Because it's in the moment of launch and he did that.
Correct.
Which is really, really beautiful.
And it's funny. My neighbor was walking by and they saw me like putting raspberries and praying and like I had my earbuds in listening to music. So I didn't even know how loud I was. And like, I didn't care, you know, like it's, I say that just to say there's moments you're going to have you going out and putting juniper down in Nashville. Like it's your truth. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks or has to say about it. It's so important. It's so essential to not lose sight of what really you're deeply connected to. Mm-hmm. Not numbers on a launch board. It's not what someone else thinks of you. It's your own integrity to yourself and to the earth.
Yeah.
I really believe that's what this whole game is.
Oof.
And you're playing it.
We're doing one step at a time.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
So as you've built this beautiful, prolific career while being as awake and conscious as you are, what would you say to women who are really ready to do the work, be as abundantly successful as you have become without losing themselves?
Oh, I have a lot to say to women entrepreneurs, actually.
Please go.
First off, why? I think you gave a beautiful example of checking into your why, because once again, it is good to make money and it can be great to be sovereign. But once again, checking in, because it may not be for everyone. And I say that with so much reverence, because I know every woman would love their own money and would love to have some program or product online. But check in, why? Is it to be seen? Is it to finally feel validated that you're enough because you've got a program and a product? So you're going to like slit your wrist to get there and like let go of what actually matters in your life. I don't know. Some women it is their role and there is their mission, but I would ask every woman to check in because right now it's becoming a thing, right? So we have to check in as women. We are powerful beyond measure. We don't have to own a business to signal that. To own that, to claim that. And it's not everyone's role to own a business. And it's gnarly. It's a gnarly journey. You got to know why you're doing it because it's a gnarly journey. And if you want to be successful, first check in. Why? Am I feeding a missing link to what I can't see within myself? Or am I truly contributing because spirit's asking me to? That's first and foremost. And it is okay to be like, I am enough without my business. I'm enough and I can be sovereign even if I don't have a business. There's a lot of ways to be sovereign, a lot of ways outside of an online business or a platform. So I want to say that first because I see this a lot. And then second, if spirit's leading you down the entrepreneurial business route and you know it in your bones and you know it in your blood and you're yoked and you're ready to go, then I would say that you have to understand, and you speak to this, and that's why I love your teachings, is there are a lot of people that are going to coach you in a masculine way, and there's going to be a lot of people that will coach you in just only a feminine way. And you are not going to be successful in just one of those ways. The masculine way, you're going to have body problems, heart problems, some type of disease that will come through. I'm just warning you right now. So you
retweet.
You gotta learn how to merge the two. You gotta learn to dance and flow. You gotta learn to surrender, and you gotta learn how to work, and also get really clear on what you want and be very direct. And so it's a dance of both. And so that would be my greatest advice: learn that dance and get to it.
Get to it.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true queen and an expert in one. I could talk to you all day. Thank you for saying that.
You're brilliant.
You are.
No, truly. I'm really proud of what you're doing.
that means everything for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly. We need someone doing this. So I'm glad it's you.
I receive that.
Yeah.
And I often say that it takes a queen to see a queen.
Probably true, huh?
Yeah. What you see in me, what you honor in me, like I say this to everyone listening, like take this for yourself. Like you wouldn't be able to see it or honor it unless you were able to hold that for yourself, right?
It's true.
We reflect what we are. So thank you. I have a few final questions for you.
Okay.
They're quick fire questions.
I love it.
Do you have a favorite business book and a spiritual book?
Favorite business. I've read so many business books. You guys, I had to read a lot about money.
Same.
Because I had money stories, a lot of money stories. So I had to read a lot of my money. It's an old one, but it's a goodie. Think and Grow Rich.
Yes.
Think and Grow Rich. And The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. I also recommend
really?
That one. Yeah, because it just drove it right into me. It's where I finally, it clicked with that book.
Gotta read that.
Yeah. And then Metaphysical. God, there's so many of those too. I like The Big Leap. You read that? The Big
Leap. Yeah, Hendricks.
It's good for if you're just starting out. Why am I blanking this? Oh, The Game of Life and How to Play It. So I am a Hay House author, and one of the women who, you know, finds the authors, she was like, Tanette, you have to check out this author. She was Louise Hay's mentor. So she wrote this book she's like been gone before Louise Hay came out. And it's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. It's a very thin book.
Really?
I really recommend it.
Okay.
The Game of Life and How to Play It.
All right.
Florence, her name's Florence Shovel. I might get it wrong, but look up Florence and you'll get it.
I always learn about so many amazing books from my guests, like a whole new library.
I should probably hear your podcast to hear about some more books. I love books.
Me too. And I'm always fascinated by this answer. Do you have, as a coded woman that you are, a spiritual connection to a deity or goddess or an angel or a specific ancestor or archetype that you work with? Or
I get asked this a lot, and I would say I don't. I don't have anyone. My rituals change. I don't have one set. I'm a big believer in that you don't have to meditate a certain way. You don't have to do a certain ritual for it to work. I love it all. And that's the thing is, like, you'll see crystals and Jesus and God, and you'll see an oracle deck. I believe in it all, and I love merging it all.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I really believe that our relationship to spirit is the most personal relationship we have in our life. No one else gets to define it.
Yeah.
Tell us what it needs to look like. I would say that Earth.
Probably, yeah.
It's like probably your true. main.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in aliens? I know the answer.
Oh, gosh. I just got visited 2 nights ago.
By who? By what?
I don't know what it was. That's the thing. Like, I don't have like a, I get visited and they're in real time.
Like, you see them in physical form.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Can we take
how like, can I not?
2 seconds and just what happened?
Well, do you want to hear the recent story?
Yes.
Or I have lots.
The like, recent
I cannot story. Even not deny it.
2 days ago.
Literally the first night in Nashville. Well, it's interesting because they usually show up with as lights and like an orb, or they'll turn on lights. So that's not uncommon. But I get into Nashville, my flight's super delayed, and it's midnight, and I don't really know what the frequency of the land here is. I don't know really where I'm at. I'm going into my hotel, and I always bring certain things. So I have crystals that I grid my bed with, and that's not unusual. And then I burn some Kapal. Like, I'm doing this like at midnight. And when I do Kapal, which you'll learn through the Mayans, they do it because they are calling their ancestors forward and the spirits to be there. I do the Kapal to clear the room of any energies that I don't want in there with me sleeping with me, and also to protect me and bring in my spirit team. And I'm sleeping, and around 4, because I checked my phone after, like, it scared me. So I had a big talking with whatever this was. So maybe you'll have a hit of what this was. But so I hear like man's voices, like low, like man voices. And I'm like, and I can feel it strong presence in the room. So I like open my eyes, but I'm kind of like wondering if I'm dreaming. I look over at the big screen TV across the room and it has the loading symbol on it. And it says loading with, you know, the spiral. But I hear a man's voice, but I can't make out what it's saying. And the TV's on. And now I'm looking around the room. I'm like, okay, I am fully awake. I can feel a presence. The TV is loading and there's a man's voice. So my human, what happens is I'll be like, okay, there's someone here, but I can't see them. But then my human brain wants to be like, who's in here? Like, right. There's a real person in here.
Right.
But then I know there's not, because it's not that big of a room. So I'm like, then the TV actually has now come on. And it's like the weather type channel or some random station. So I'm looking on the side tables for the remote. I don't know how this TV is turned on. There's no remote. So I like crawl out of bed and I'm feeling around the flat screen TV for a manual way to turn it off. The man's voice is gone because now it's like weather, whatever it was on. And I can't turn it off. So I'm like, right, where's this remote? So I flip on the big lights. I'm looking around the room. The remote's over by the snacks. So I grab the remote. I turn it off and I get into bed and I can just feel a presence. Like, I know I'm not alone in there. And I'm like, okay. So my first go-to is, if you are not of the highest light, you must go now, because it scared me because sure. I could hear voices. And so I didn't know for sure. And it went away, that it didn't go away. So I knew it was high light. And I was like, okay, talk to me. What do you want to tell me? And it told me very, very specific things. And I was like, okay, okay. And I don't know who it is. I don't know if I'm meant to know. That's why I say I don't work with anything in specifically, because this happens quite a bit. But this was like in Nashville. So I'm not sure if it's an ancestor here. I'm not sure if it's came with me. But it was telling me that, and I think it's okay for me to tell you guys, or I probably wouldn't have brought it up, but maybe it knew I was coming here on this one. I'm like feeling into that, but I think that's it. It said that the times are going to change. And that even I am going to see more destruction, and there's going to be things that are going to be harder than what we've currently experienced. And that I just need to understand that everything is working out exactly how it's meant to be. So I'm sharing that with you as well. Out of chaos, Napoleon Hill has said this, out of chaos comes equal or greater good. So hold on to that hope. It was telling me that, and that we're never alone, and that wanted me to know, do not forget, you are not alone. You've never been alone. And it also said more beings are coming down to be with a lot of people. There will be a lot more signs. Because I was like, can you stop doing it at night, though? You're scaring me. And it was like, I did it. I do it in the daytime all the time, but you're not paying attention. And my Uber driver, and it said I was in your Uber driver. So that Uber driver that dropped me off at the hotel, you know, you meet loving humans. I could tell he was just trying to make sure I got there safe. And I looked in his eyes and I could feel his light. And I just chalked it up as a loving man. And he goes, I was in your Uber driver, but you're not paying attention. I was like, touche. And then then the spirit told me about my daughter, which was all remain private. And I was like, wow, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole time you were sharing the story and up until you explained what he said to you, I was like, this isn't a malevolent energy. It didn't feel like that. Mm-hmm. He was like fucking with you to get your attention.
Yeah.
But there was a benevolence in it. Like, I was really tuning into it. Was like, is this dark? Was this scary?
No.
It wasn't.
No.
At all.
It's usually just like, I'm trying to get your attention.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, didn't it?
Yeah. And you're fine if you wake up at 4. You're not going to die. It's okay if you get a little less sleep.
Yeah. And what I also love about which also suck, but the sovereignty that you had in that moment.
Yeah. Maybe this was meant for your crew.
100%.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Final question. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Co-creator of the new earth. If I am a co-creator of the new earth, it requires me to see the beauty in the earth that's right in front of me, and to just love on this that's right in front of me fully and as powerfully and as reverently as I possibly can.
Drop.
Sweet. Beautiful. And that's it. That's it. Right here, right now. And it's love. That's me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to meet you.
It's an honor to meet you.
Honestly. Yeah. It's like weird to like see you on a screen and then to actually be in front of you. It's really beautiful.
Magical.
Yeah.
Thank you for blessing my community. Blessing me. And I know where there's so much more.
Yes.
Here. Thank you.